I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B Raw Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Rick Flair, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chilling with my homegirl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Choc Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Choc Mommy. And all of us right now, we all riding the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Choc Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me!
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Choc Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding the chocolate wave with my girl Choc Mommy. Holla at your boy.
Listen to that baby making music.
Hey, this is Zinke, and I'm chilling with Choc Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Choc Mommy. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? This your boy Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Choc Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Choc Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
City Radio. Tonight is Turn It Up Tuesday, and boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We have NC/ATL rapper Mancini coming on the show tonight. He has an album out called Be Water. It's one of my favorite albums. I love it. It's like classic hip-hop at its best. The topic tonight is, would you be willing to compromise your religious beliefs to, you know, for your mate or your spouse? And I got this from Love and Hip Hop. Yes, Love and Hip Hop. I look at Love and Hip Hop religiously every Monday night. And I was looking at the situation with Conscience and Jen and how he is a Muslim and he's trying to get her to embrace the Muslim relationship, religion. And, you know, she's agreed to allow him to bring her son up as Muslim, but she's conflicted with how she was brought up and how her son isn't going to be able to partake in any of that. And I was just like, if you were dating somebody that had a different religious belief as you, would you give up everything that you were taught or you grew up on or that you believed in to satisfy your mate completely? I pray not. I'm sorry. I am not about to give up my religious beliefs to take on somebody else's because they love me and they feel like that's the thing for me to do. Fuck you, pay me. we will be separate. You know what I mean? Your religion is your religion. My religion is my religion. I don't disrespect yours. You don't disrespect mine. Boom, at the end of the night, we go ahead and we do the nasty and we keep it moving. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. So I polled that question today, and I had a lot of answers, and then a lot of people were like, you look at love and hip-hop? Of course I look at love and hip-hop, because honestly, I don't really think a woman today would actually do something like that. But then again, you know, hey, to each his own. If the dick is good enough or if the pussy is good enough, you might be a you might become a Buddhist. You know what I'm saying? You might become a Wicker. Ain't no telling what you might become. I just know what I'm not going to do. I was brought up a certain way, and I believe that in my heart and soul, and there is no man that can tell me differently. And if you want to be my man, then you stay in your lane and I stay in mine, and we won't have no problems, none whatsoever. So, like I said, Muccini will be on tonight. His album is awesome. He has this intro, and it's called Be Water. And it has some people speaking on it, and then he comes in with the song. And it's something that, like, really makes you think, like, this is some deep shit. To me, this whole album is deep because it's like artists put their whole being into an album. And then after it comes together and stuff like that, we hear their story in their music. And then it's like, if you're really in tune with music and the lyrics, then you hear some of the trials and tribulations that artists went through. And, you know, this artist went through a lot to the point where, you know, his life was in danger because of a sickness that happened to him. And, you know, he was given not so much promising news and stuff like that. But, you know, by the grace of God, he's here. He did his album. He has twin kids. He has a boy and a girl. You know, shouts out Syria. She got that done in one shot. Hey, I'm not mad at you. If I could have had two at once, I probably would have pulled my hair out. Probably would have pulled my hair out, knowing me. Friday night is my birthday celebration at One Sofa Bar, a.k.a. Club 117, downtown on Green Street. It is going to be bananas. I'm going to be there around 12 o'clock after my radio show. I will be there up close, live, personal, rare form. Come out, party with me. The cover charge is $5. That's not for me. That's the club. We'll be on the third floor. It's like three levels. And I was told on the third floor it can go down. If you want to strip, you can strip. If you want to just wow the fuck out, you can wow the fuck out and, like, really have a good time. So what I'm going to do is play some music and then, excuse me, I'm sleepy as shit. I was up late last night. I woke up early. I mean, I have bad sleeping habits. And then today is my long day because I have school and then I have the show. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and play a song or two and then come back, talk a little bit more, and then, you know, artists and everybody has started calling in. It's a slow day. It's like I'm in a sluggish-ass mood. I wish I could just go to sleep right now, but I know that I can't do that. So I'm going to play one of my favorite songs tonight. So let's see here. I'm always in a slow song mood for some reason. I don't know why. I just love playing slow music. I guess because it always keeps you in the mood. And, you know, since I'm deprived, I'm always thinking about stuff. So this one right here is, like, one of my favorite songs by Mike Bless, and it's slow.
Go slow for me, time. I wanna get to know your body, I wanna get you home to sexually control your body, body. no falling asleep on me, girl, that's impossible. Hoping your body's ready, cause we gon' get out of control. Till the sun is up, give me what I want. The whole bedroom shaking.
Cause you're riding, baby, girl, you're shining. Looking from behind, cause you're beautiful.
You've been
on it.
This is how I want it.
This is how I want it,
baby.
Through the morning.
Yeah.
Do you had enough, ain't enough, we ain't gotta end. Get it up, keep it up, let's do it again.
She be throwing it back, and we gon' do this for a while.
I'm just trying to get along so I can get to know you.
Body, body, body.
I just wanna get you home to sexually control you.
Body, body,
hey,
body.
Love, we love
about everything,
everything. I'm
gonna put it down right once I get it to your body, body,
body,
body.
Nathaniel.
Body by Fly Nate, and before that was Slow by Mike Bless. We have our special guest Muccini on the line, and I'm about to bring him in, and we're gonna get this popping. I might be nice tonight, or I might be a little turned up. I'm not sure yet. I'm still feeling my way out in this scene today. So we're gonna go ahead and bring our special guest on the line. Hello.
Yo, what's happening, Chocolate Mommy? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Chilling as always.
Tell the guests who you are.
My name is Muccini. I'm a hip-hop artist out of the ATL, representing, originally from North CAC, though.
Interesting. So, it's like, some people may know you as another name, and what name would that be?
A lot of people may know me as the name JB the Rising Sun.
And where did that come from?
The name JB was given to me when I was real young by a couple of my cousins who said I complained about everything, so they named me John Brat. So that's originally where that came from. And they kind of stuck with me. You know, I embraced it, and I still embrace it. But you know, I had to change my name for other reasons, so that's where I am now.
So what does Muccini mean?
Muccini actually came from a couple of my roommates in college would always invite people over to freestyle battle me. And then one of my roommates named Jamie said I was eating everybody up. So he started saying, you know, munch. So he used to call me Munch all the time. So I just kind of developed into Muccini. So that's where that came from.
Interesting. I have to say, and it's kind of bad, being that I'm a radio host, I don't really like a whole lot of rap. I mean, I have rap artists on here and everything like that, but rap nowadays has taken a complete 360 turn, and it's not, like, in a good direction. It's, like, so much bullshit on the radio, I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, I won't even listen to the radio because they had the same shit in rotation over again. And I just, like, for real, like, man, fuck that. I set my own tone. So when I got your CD, was it Thanksgiving or Christmas? Was it Christmas?
Yeah, I think it was Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, because we was fighting over it. And I actually listened to it, and I was like, oh, shit, this is really good. And what I noticed is not once did you have a cuss word in there. Do you cuss?
Yeah, you know, when I get heated, sometimes a word or two will slip out. I can't lie about that, but it's just like, you know, since I had kids, I try to make, you know, kind of change my outlook on the music I make. And, you know, I didn't really intentionally do it. It just came out that way, and I still think it was hot, and I got a lot of good feedback on it. So I don't think I really lost anything in the process of doing that.
Because I was like, yo, I don't hear no damn cuss words. I'm like, I heard them cuss before. I'm like, this is interesting. And then it's like, every morning when we're driving, when I'm taking my son to school and we're going somewhere, your CD is in the CD player. Then when Fat Ass Junior is driving somewhere, your CD is in the CD player. And it's just like, you know, one of those albums that you can listen to over and over and over, because every time you listen to it, there's a different message on there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm grateful for that. Just to know you rock with it like that, it means a lot to me.
Man, a lot of people can't say that. I'm like, man. And then because it's like, it got that old hip-hop spin on it. Matter of fact, here's my co-host. Ashton, you're late just for that. I sold your right titty to a bum. So,
she is a mess.
I mean, she still got one left, right?
Yeah, I told him there was no milk in it, so.
He didn't believe you.
Actually, he did. So, you know, I gave him a number to contact you and everything, and then boom. You know what I'm saying? So, we have artist Muccini, I think I'm saying it right, on the line tonight, and we have Ashton. And now, here's the kicker, okay? Here's the funny part. This is my cousin. Like, his mom, no, his daddy and my mama popped out of the same place. So, while y'all laughing, I'm going to bring somebody on the line because they got their hand up. And this is going to make y'all laugh even more because it's my son. He sounds like an old-ass man, but he's only 26. Hey, Mark, how are you?
What's going on, champion?
Excuse me, should I say streets or is it Mark today?
You can call me anything you want to call me, just don't call me bro.
So how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I had to come show cousin up some love.
Oh, matter of fact, you never got a chance to hear the album, did you?
No, I tried to steal it from y'all on Thanksgiving, man, but that wasn't going down.
Y'all appreciate the love.
Matter of fact, Muccini, what is the first track you would like for me to play?
The first thing I promote right now is Through the Storm, so if you could throw that on, I'd appreciate it. That's what everybody rocking to right now that I'm getting feedback on, so.
Okay, so we're going to play Through the Storm by Muccini. Let me see. Here we go.
Inspiration for those who rose when the haters said you couldn't do it. As if the obstacle was too large and you couldn't move it. Listen here, you came too far to make excuses. See, those who doubt you obviously don't know about you or see that little glow around shining. And this here is aimed at you pessimists. The only sit back, mind complain, and second guess the risk involved. Sometimes you gotta walk by faith and not fight and just risk it all. When you fed up and tired of waiting, ready to wake up and triumph over those who lay dormant, still hibernating. They won't sleep through this one. They need to see you risen. That's something we can teach the children. From the hoods to the college dorm. Since the day you were born, you've been destined to make it through the storm.
You can make it through the
rise, my concentration still deep as the ocean. I could have sworn they learned not to play with fire. Now they dumping gas on it. That's how I stay inspired. Heart of a lion, eye of a tiger, wings of an eagle, so I soar even higher. Join me high up above sea level, way above the clouds. You can hear my voice echo. Let's go. No time like the present, cause present means gift, and every gift is a blessing. When you feeling low, cause the waters get rough, you feel you had enough, and you ought to give up. Rise like the sun in the east in the morning. Let the world know you a beast. Go ahead, warn them. And when it starts storming, remember that pain may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. feeling like you're going through hell. With your back against the wall, folks hoping you fail. Ain't no way you're supposed to prevail. Says who? So-called experts, they've been misled to. Got it twisted. A large percentage of people in your same position, but they ain't got the heart to risk it. When your chance comes, show them you too smart to miss it. Seize it. Call Big D on. Your fate is in your hands. Squeeze it. That's the thing that turns victims to survivors. We all want to talk with those who listen or the wisest. Be like the phoenix that rises above all else, because anything that comes between us divides us. Ask me, we all on the same team. From hoods to the trailer parks, in essence, we fighting for the same thing. To be a champion and live comfortably. Haters want to see you fail, don't give them the luxury.
Anybody feeling like you just can't make it? Storm's getting rough and you just can't take it. Keep your head to the sky. Spread your wings and fly. You can make it through the storm. I'm telling you that you can make it through the storm.
Let them know, Lindsay.
Through the storm, yeah. Made it through the storm.
Yeah.
Oh, made it through the storm.
Everybody under the sound of my voice. Can't rain all the time.
Man, see, that's classic at its best right there.
Yeah, that's right there. I already told you, man, he reminded me of Nas, yo.
Yo, don't even say that, yo. That's too humbling right there. I appreciate it.
I've been saying that since Seven Seas, yo. For real, man. That's every time I hear you, that's what they put me in a mind state, man.
Word. Speaking of that, yo, if anybody's in the Greensboro, North Carolina area, this weekend, I think it might be Friday, you know what I'm saying? But before you go visit Chalk Mommy, go early to the Blind Tiger. I'm not sure what time Chalk Mommy got her thing going on. Is it Friday?
Yeah, but I'm not going to 12 o'clock because I got to do my radio show. What's that, the Blind Tiger?
Okay, that's what's up then. So y'all go to the Blind Tiger early, like, you know, like I think it's 9:30 or 10, and see one of my Seven Seas brothers, P-Skills, perform at the Blind Tiger for his birthday. Then y'all head on over to party with Chalk Mommy later that night and get right.
Damn, you made me
want to
cancel my damn show and go party with
Peace Kill. Where's the Tiger at,
Mark? Upper Spring Garden.
Yeah.
It's right down the street from the telephone center. It's right on the, if you're coming where the same side where Cable Vision is, it's on the right-hand side.
Right.
It says Blind Tiger. Now, see, the whole album is crazy, right? But, you know, normally I let the artist pick. I'm going to let you pick some more. But I got to play my favorite. And it's like, it's tripping me out because it's like never giving up. And it's like when I listen to that song, I be so frustrated because I be like, damn, I should be a certain place by now. And I'm not. And I'm like, I listen to this song and it's my motivation. And the guy singing can sing. So you rapping, him singing, I be having positive thoughts. And I just be like, man, fuck that. I be ready to tell everybody to kiss my ass. I'm going to make it. And I'm going to laugh at all my haters. So this song right here, Never Giving Up, that's like my motivation.
No doubt. Yeah, you definitely got to use his motivation. I was even using his motivation when I was writing the song, so it kind of motivated me in the same process. Shouts out to Chris Ray singing, too. He did his thing on the vocals, for real.
Yeah, he did. Wait till y'all hear this one. This song right here is hot as hell. Never Giving Up.
Yep. Sometimes you can come up with a plan. Sit back and wait for a door to open. Or you can take a few steps back. Get your momentum up and bust straight through. Yeah. Give it to him, Chris. Let's go. I gotta get it. I'm fine. I'm coming back. Get it. 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 Get it.
do. This is my time, my time to shine. You ride the pine, I find the line. I give out before I give up. That's not in my nature. Couldn't care less if the odds are stacked against me. I got God in my favor. I got this perfected. So all you haters talking, I appreciate it. Your remorse all get deflected. Like a safety made a play on it. Go ahead, hate on it. Victory is still mine. Sound great, don't it? My opponents get crushed. Smoke down the ashes and dust. So ain't nothing else that we have to discuss. I'm too busy living my life. Success is like the American pie. Everybody trying to get on my flight. I gotta get it, the bottle come back. Get it, shut it, stop it, got it now. Get it, break it, break it down. Get it, I ain't never giving up. Get it, the bottle come back. Get it, shut it, stop it, got it now. Get it, break it, break it down. Get it, I ain't never giving up.
Never letting these thugs defeat me. I suggest they pull up our Steve Wade and LeBron and beam up to beat me. Otherwise, they ain't getting nothing to hear but butterflies around mine on cloud nine. You see while I touch the sky and start picking up twice the momentum. I'm the type to go get them and wipe the floor with them. Numero uno, I might just be them. Cause if y'all know anybody that's going harder than your boy, I like to feel it. Looks can be quite deceiving, like a storm coming on a quiet evening. I've arrived and I ain't leaving till I'm gone. So they lock the hinges on my casket. It's too stringent for the masses. Burn lenses and get glasses with the way I shine. I shine like a divine light was placed inside me to battle the darkness when the time's right. I stay prayed up and keep grinding for the folk that never realize how close they were when they gave up. Like I
get it,
but it can still change. Like, you know, you might be an ice cube at certain times when things get cold, like your life get cold, but you're still water. You're just in a different form. You got to blend in with whatever your surrounding is. And then sometimes when things get hot, you know what I'm saying, you might turn into steam when you got to burn somebody. That's just how it is, but you're still water. So you might have to take on different forms, different properties, but you're still being yourself.
Yeah. These young cats don't know shit about that. They think that popping a Molly is in, that's the shit. Or pulling up today scene with the ceiling missing.
Word, I feel you.
Like, man, see, that's classic. And that's what a lot of young people coming up need. And that's what a lot of these artists need anyway. They need to go back to hip-hop roots and where hip-hop originally came from. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
and
no doubt.
Change up their lyrics and change up what they're talking about, because actually if they did that, they might have longevity. Because look at all the rap pioneers back in the day. They still catching their money on shows. You know what I'm saying?
And oh yeah, no doubt. They living off their albums.
yeah, they'll get quick booker than, you know, they'll get booked quicker than these new artists. And I just be sitting there shaking my head and being like, man, the stage of hip hop nowadays is fucked up.
Yeah, no doubt. It's mad crazy. Let me tell you a quick story real quick. It's funny. I got a studio I work at, and this cat came over and recorded some tracks, you know, to one of my beats or whatever. And his whole song was basically about, you know, pushing the Bentley. I think he even mentioned he had a Hummer or something like that, and he was a boss or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? So the next week he was supposed to come through and record, and I was wondering where he was at. And so I hit him up, and he was like, yo, you can come scoop me. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, you know, I ain't got no whip right now. I ain't got no transport right now. I was like, the song you just laid down last week, you know what I'm saying? The first verse was talking about you pushing a Bentley and a Hummer. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, what part of the game is that? But, you know, that's how it is now.
Man, I would have put that motherfucker on blast so hard. Like, he just was rapping about having a Beamer and a Hummer. See, rappers, I'm telling you, y'all gonna get enough of rapping about that life and y'all really not about that life. Y'all better look at Big Boy and what happened to him on his birthday, getting shot at. That was kind of ugly.
Hey, there's people out here that's really living that life. You ain't trying to see them like that.
Yeah, and then 50 Cent, I'll never forget this, when 50 said Big Boy hit the building.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's crazy.
But, you know, I love 50. 50 be speaking this shit I be thinking, but, you know, 50 still full of shit, too, but I'm just saying, that just made me think, and I just started laughing, and then it's like, I don't know if it was like a full moon, because you had the bullshit with Frank Ocean and Chris Brown.
Chris Breezy, yeah.
Yeah, you started it, Frank Ocean, but then you gonna play the bitch. I mean, you know, I understand that you in a gay relationship and everything like that, but yo, when you roll up on people, you really need to be able to have a nice hand game and handle your handle. What you're doing is crazy. So, you know, people, if you about that life, be about that life. You know what I'm saying? Most people that are about that life, they don't talk about it.
Exactly. You never even know it.
So, Rick Ross, all that gangsters move in silence. Gangster move in silence. Bitch, you can't move in silence. Your fat ass, every time you move, you're like, oh, Ashton, I'm sorry about talking about your homeboy. My bad.
Nah, we good. I just had to throw that, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, but you're going to see that a lot because you're in Atlanta, ATL, Hotlanta, and they call that the city of pretenders because a lot of people pretend to be something that they're not.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. You find one on every corner, really.
So, like, the worst thing that could have ever happened was people being able to lease automobiles. Because that's helping you play a role that, you know, you're not ready for. So, I mean, it's crazy. Now, what's another song you want to hear off your album?
Another joint. So, what about the last joint, that victory joint?
You want victory?
Yeah, unless you got something else in mind.
Oh, now.
I like hearing your opinions, actually. I like to hear what people feel on the album, so.
Okay, we'll play victory, and then I'm going to come back and play number 7, All That I Have, because it's like, that has a subliminal message. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because of what you've been through in life and where people didn't think you was going to be or you didn't think you was going to come out of a dark cloud in your life and everything like that. Like, this whole album, it's like, to me, it's personal because I know you. And
right,
I know
right.
Your trials and tribulations and the struggles. And it seemed like each year from 2010, you know, 2010, 2011, 2012, we've had major family struggles with losing somebody every year, and then what you was going through, then the things going through with your dad. It's just like, this album is so fucking personal because it's like, you're putting all your emotions, all your pain, all your joy, all your happiness, all your sorrow, it's all in this album. So I encourage people to is it somewhere where they can download it?
Yeah, they can download it from, I got it on iTunes, it's on Amazon, got it on Google Play. If you got an Android phone, you can go to Google Play and download it. Or you can download it directly from my website, too, is MunchiniWorld.com.
Man, I encourage everybody to listen to this album from start to finish, and then you'll be like, yo, you'll feel like you really know him, and he's putting his whole life out in 12 tracks. And I assure you, y'all know I don't co-sign bullshit, and I don't lie. I don't, you know, big up. I don't be making artists bigger than what they are, because, you know, I love to tear artists down. But this is a person that is really living what he's rapping. And like I said earlier, there are no cuss words in this album. So your kids can listen to it, and it's not anything you got to sit there and explain, like, some violence or some old tricking off stuff. He not in the clubs making it rain on chicks or nothing like that. He's like a wholesome dude. Like, I can honestly say I have not taken him out, have not gotten him drunk. I've never tortured him like I would torture some other cousins of mine. He's a goodie. So I don't want that on my conscience when my grandmother calls me to her house and to her room and be like, Pam, did you corrupt John? I'm like, no, Grandma. And then wife gonna strike me dead in her house. But now, seriously, y'all got to listen to this album from start to finish and listen to the messages that are in it. And I promise you that one of these songs is going to fit some type of circumstance that is going on in your life. Then you hit me up on Twitter, and then you'll be like, yo, Chalk, you was right. Then you hit me up on Facebook and be like, yo, you was telling the truth. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But enough talking. We're going to play Victory, and then we're going to come back and play All That I Have.
Is this thing on? Yeah. What it do, baby? Bump squad. Munchini, seven seas in the building, baby. Let's get it.
Incredible. Victory is hard. Won't stop. So my whole team standing on the pedestal.
Incredible.
Victory is hard. Won't stop. So my whole team standing on the pedestal.
Incredible.
Victory is hard. Won't stop. So my whole team standing on the pedestal.
Momentum swings, the billboards, the scoreboard, I'm lighting up, hitting a homer while I sip a
Corona. Yeah. I murdered a snare drummer, put the kick in a coma. Give your concussion, concussions. Leave a baseline with his blood gushing and leave the like I ain't done nothing.
Incredible. Victory is mine, won't stop. My whole team's standing on the pedestal.
Incredible.
Victory is mine, won't stop. So my whole team's standing on the pedestal.
Incredible.
Victory is mine, won't stop. So my whole team's standing on the pedestal. Incredible. Victory is mine.
My work ethic is hectic. Your repertoire's repetition. My demeanor's demure, but nothing less than vicious. I don't think what you plan to do to me is logical. I strike back with all the vengeance that's humanly possible. I'm about to cause a bad predicament for you cats. I shall conduct a lab experiment on your rap. As you race towards the cheese, get caught in a trap. Please tell me who taught you to rap. Say you ought to be smacked. I'm a peaceful man, but yeah, that boy ain't hell. I still told my work. Lethal, man. Just imagine if I still smoke that. Real quotes from an impervious verbalist turning his temperature up. Catch third degree burns from this. I air up like liquid hot magma. You get dropped faster. Yes, this I got mad, man. I told y'all I'm next in line. Please step aside. Hip hop is still alive inside me. It never dies.
Incredible. Victory is mine, won't stop. So my whole team's standing on the pedestal.
Incredible.
Victory is mine, won't stop. So my whole team's standing on the pedestal.
Incredible.
Victory is mine, won't stop. So my whole team's standing on the pedestal. Incredible. Victory is mine.
Congratulations. What you've further done is pissed us off once again. I can't believe you get under my skin like you would.
Yeah.
Mancini, I see you.
Hey, Mancini, man.
My squad, I see you.
Certified.
Seven C's, I see you.
Hey, duh.
You thought it just started, huh?
Nope. And you just get warmed up.
Looking at my pad, different words jumbled up. Nothing much, just a few pages I'll crumble up. I stay humble, but yeah, I'm nice to it. Stories to tell, my life's vivid. Precise image I see in my mind and translated well to the paper. Just finished watching the Thunder give a L to the Lakers, respective. I stay connected to a Wi-Fi hotspot. When I rock like Wawa's, my mind goes bye-bye. I appear through the clouds of smoke. Rising from the paper, see flames for miles. What I wrote is the dopest form of adrenaline rushing. From any pen that I'm clutching, when I spit in the discussion, I am blessed. Yes, this is not debatable. It's wild when even the doctor's surprised I made it through. So I will say to you, music is my therapy. Been better to my soul than I can ever be.
This is my life, my struggle, my pain, my past.
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see if you can feel what I feel. See what I see. This is my life, my struggle, my pain, my past.
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see if you can feel what I feel. What I see.
My life, my struggle, my pen, my hustle. Question, answer, statement, rebuttals, question. How are we supposed to grow with no hope of being told what we supposed to know? Made this oath to spit spiritual hymns to young women and men. Send them a gem, forces whittle them thin. And then you gotta start from scratch. It's easier to build and destroy in these parts we at. And which role do you play in the part of that? And this shit just don't start with rap. And you just can't be following cats. Got their head so hollow you can haul them in gas. Write my own thoughts, put it in track. Then I put it on paper, put it in depth, put it on wax. Keep my own story full of them facts. But I can't tell you everything, bro. Too much bullshit in that.
This is my life, my struggle, my pain, my past.
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see if you can feel what I feel. See what I see. This is my life, my struggle, my pain, my past.
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see if you can feel what I feel.
Yo, the double-edged music is all I have. It's my life in the struggle with the pen and the pad. I pour out these thoughts when I'm caught up in the rapture. Back against the wall, still refuse to be an actor. With these images, I'm peeping, keep a center when we see them. Just to get a little action while I'm winning Charlie Sheen them.
Always be a rebel, born a day before the sitting. No activist, I'm more like a martyr when I'm ripping. Switch his position till you definitely have to feel him. Windows of his soul, get a glimpse of what he living. The struggle bring the rain, wash away the bad feelings. And you gotta eat the pain for the sunshine, heal it. I respect the bottom cause I'm checking for the option. Read the message in the bottle, don't be stressing over problems. Drunk and can't drive, I be calling the cab. There's no need to reckon this life, it's all that I have.
My life, my struggle, my pain, my past.
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see if you can feel what I feel. See what I see. This is my life, my struggle, my pain, my past.
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see if you can feel what I feel. See what I see.
It's all that I have, baby.
Feel what I feel. What I see,
It's all that I have, baby.
Look into my eyes and see what I see,
It's all that I have, baby.
Man, I like that song. I like the beat. Is that one of the ones you did yourself or someone else did it for you?
Yeah, that's one of the, one of the three tracks on there I produced myself. I appreciate it.
That's very nice. Now, what advice would you give people about pursuing their dreams as far as being an artist in the rap game? Because it changes so much all the time.
My biggest advice is do what you feel comfortable with. When somebody try to get you out of your zone, it's easy to tell. Like, it's easy to tell the people out there who are now out there right now. So you can tell on being themselves. I think you pointed out a couple earlier. But, you know, it's all about the trade-off. If you're willing to not be yourself to, you know, take that risk to get more money, then, that, you know, that's on you. A lot of people got different things they're trying to achieve with music as far as, you know, provide for certain people. If they're willing to, you know, play the actor role, then do it. But my advice is always stick to yourself and be yourself. It might take a little longer to get where you want to be, but, you know, it's more fulfilling at the end of the day that way, and you get more respect that way.
Now, we have a topic for tonight. First of all, do you look at Love and Hip Hop?
yeah, I do.
Okay. Now, this topic came off of the show because of Conscience and Jen. And the question is, are you willing to compromise your religious beliefs for your mate? And it's like, I see the struggle that Jen is going through. And I feel for her because at one time I dated a Muslim and he was really trying to push his religion on me. And me being the type of person, when you're in a situation where you're incarcerated, you tend to soak up as much knowledge as you can just because you want to be diverse in your mental state. So I learned about Muslims, I learned about Rastafarians, but I also stayed true to what I grew up on. And it's like, as I was talking to him, he was just more being like, okay, you need to do this, I want you to do this, and just like really pushing his religious beliefs on me. And I was just like, yo, for real, me personally, me being the type of chick that I am, hell nah, dude, you got me fucked up. I ain't about to be conforming into what you want me to be. You know what I'm saying? That's your lane. That's your religion. I have my lane and I have my religion and I'm comfortable in it. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you. And then you're supposed to be equally yoked anyway. And it's just like a lot of different people are having interracial relationships and intercultural relationships because so many different people have different religious cultures, different lifestyle cultures, and it's like when you come into a relationship, it's like you embrace it, but how much of that are you willing to embrace to change your own patterns and your own beliefs? And I was just like, And then I was like, damn. Some people do it, and then me, I'll be like, must be some good dick or pussy to make them just change everything like that. And I'm like, I have a strong mind, and I don't not dif- I don't don't knock their religion because that's them. That's what they may have been brought up on, or that's what they may have felt makes them a better person from what they used to be. That's that. But, I mean, I just couldn't see myself being forced upon to do something or having a child and not letting that child grow up and know my traditions as I knew them from a child to a grown woman that I am now. So have you ever had that happen?
Well, I had it not as extreme as it seemed like Conscious Jen on the show, but yeah, I dated a Muslim female one time. It was kind of the same thing. But it ended quick, basically, because, like you said, I wasn't willing to conform, and neither one of us was willing to give. We were just butting heads the whole time, so, you know, we called it quits. Which basically, I mean, I hope it don't end like that, but as far as, you know, Constant Jen, it seemed like that. I don't see how either one of them is really going to give up, you know, what they're accustomed to. And I already see a solution into making it work if they don't. So, I mean, something's going to have to give.
Because I've read books and stuff like that, and, you know, I don't know. Was it a guide to understanding the black man? No, it was something else. Because my ex-husband, when he went overseas, he started reading about the Muslim religion, so he brought the book home. And it was like the certain things, the discipline that you had to go through for your woman. So Muslim men, if your woman was being disrespectful and got out of line, you know, you're supposed to talk to a chastiser. Then secondly, you withhold sex from her. And then third, I think you slap her or you hit her or something like that. First of all, men, I'm going to tell you, I'm disrespectful. I'm disruptive. I do whatever the hell I want to. Talk to me. Okay, cool. Put me on dick punishment. I'm sorry. That ain't going to work because I have a toy or I'm going to have your friend. So don't even try that. You know what I'm saying? And then laying hands, if you're not a preacher trying to exercise some of these demons up out of me, then you have no business laying hands. So, if you want to live to tell about it, I'm just saying, that's just me.
As your family, I say that third one was definitely out of the picture.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a submissive female. I'm trying to learn how to be so that maybe one day I can walk down the aisle and, you know, I'll be like, okay, this is how I'm supposed to be. And I want to be equally yoked with my man on all levels, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially. I don't know, because I might go back into them old-fashioned ways and be like, look, you the man, you're supposed to take me out. I'm about to go back into my prostitution days and be a housewife. So it's like, I just be thinking about it, and I'll be like, because there's so many people coming into the country nowadays, and that's a good thing because diversity is always good. Diversity is very good. So it's like, you know, I love interracial relationships because it produces cute little kids and stuff like that. Because I feel like if you're black and you're dating someone in another nationality, you should not have ugly kids. But I mean, sometimes people do. God bless you. So, but it's just a beautiful thing because your kids grow up with two different cultural backgrounds, different heritages and stuff like that. You got different stories from your grandparents and stuff like that. And then, you know, the world is already fucked up. So there shouldn't be any type of tension from the parents, like, trying to force stuff on one another. Because I feel like when you're dating somebody and you get to the point where you're getting serious, you should already have your happy mediums and your compromises, and, you know, you shouldn't be forcing things on people anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, a lot of Muslims are converting to Christianity, because I know a lot of my Muslim friends from up top, and I'd be like, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all going to church now? Ooh, let me find out. And I'd be like, oh, that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's like, I mean, I don't have anything against anybody unless you just don't believe. And I think I had, like, the worst thing happen to me on Twitter yesterday. And, you know, every morning I try to wake up and do a daily devotion, you know, daily motivation. And I said something about God yesterday, and this person just, like, he had F God, he ain't doing nothing for me, da-da-da-da-da. And I was just like, yo, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. I can't share your feelings, because regardless of what has gone on in my life, I know that the man upstairs is real. And to just actually say that word in the same sentence, I was just like, oh my God, he is such a lost soul. So
yeah,
I had to just have that.
Yeah, that's great. You got to pray for people like that. Like, obviously, if you're still breathing, you got breath in your lungs, you're able to type a message. That's two blessings right there. So, I mean, he did something for you.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't wake up on your own. I mean, the last I checked, that was something that God, you know what I'm saying? Because we all have a book of life. That's why we have a call from New York. 5561, you're live on the air.
Hi, how y'all doing?
I'm
Thank
fine.
Thank you for taking my call. I am a Muslim, and I definitely would never convert to Christianity. The Christians for centuries have been hanging my black brothers and sisters. The Christians in South Africa still have my brothers and sisters under apartheid. And every place Christianity goes does not work for black people. That's a fact. That's a historical fact. But I would never change my vows. If somebody believes in, like, you know, I talk to people, like, I'm Christian. At first, I was going with a girl, and she's Christian. She was complaining that I didn't celebrate Valentine's. And I was like, well, what is Valentine's Day? Like, well, I was like, well, Valentine's Day is not a Christian holiday. And I said, you know, that's the problem with most of you Christians. You go buy the Bible. And when I say go buy the Bible, you walk right on by it. You don't read it. You walk right by it. And you just yell, I'm Christian. I'm like, Christianity has nothing to do with Valentine's Day. It has nothing to do with Christmas. Christmas is a satanic Sabbath. Jesus was born during the harvest, which is Easter, around the Easter time. Like, which Christian reads a book? Like, do any of them read it? They go, well, it's the Word of God. The Bible's been revised 180 times. So what part of this is I'm missing? I'm like, you can't revise God's Word. I cannot understand when black people go, look, we've been building this, we've built civilization before Christianity came into existence. Christianity came into existence during the Council of Nicaea in 2012 by Emperor Constantine in Rome. It's a Roman festival. It's for Romans. That's why they got all these little booty bandits raping these little boys, because it goes right back to Rome. We, as Asiatics, have been building, we've been working, we've been doing medicine, we've been building architecture before any of this Christianity came. We do not need faith. We need to believe in our community. We need to work up and lift up one another. I go to churches, you know, because I do visit churches. I go, I don't go for the word, because the prophet always tells you there's no middleman between you and God. If you had to go to a middleman for God's word, that means the word ain't meant for you, because you can't go to another man for the word, because you don't even know where he's getting the word from. And most of these backstabbing ministers, mind y'all, all I'm saying is because I got a lot of friends that are ministers. And that's why I'm only talking from experience. They're driving Range Rovers, they're driving Benzes. They go on big vacations. Their flock is paying for them. I just talked to one guy with his mortgage, and I'm reading his mortgage, and I'm like, dude, you making $15,000 a month? Yeah, well, that's what the church pays me. $15,000 a month?
Damn.
The people in your congregation don't even got a goddamn car. They don't see vacations. They don't see schools. If you go to Brooklyn, where I'm at, There's more churches in Brooklyn, New York, per square mile than any place on earth. And we got more killings and rapists and way beaters and abusers than any place on the planet, it seems like. There's nothing Christianity can do for a black man. Again, that's just my opinion. And I just wanted to put that out there. I just wanted to see what anyone can, you know, help me out here, because I grew up in the South. I've been through those churches. And I look at black people who grew up in the South, and these are the most back-licking niggas I've ever seen. Like, I opened a door for a woman one day, and this white woman really, she had the audacity to, like, expect me to do it. So I looked at this black guy come out the store, and he opens the door, but he puts his head down. Like, he's, like, almost afraid to make eye contact. So I walk through the door, And, you know, I did the same thing. I was opening the door, and this lady came. She wasn't going to say, thank God, I let the door, I swung the door and let the door hit the bitch. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Yo, what's wrong with you, lady? You crazy? But these are the same Christians that go that were going crosses in our yards, hanging our brothers and sisters, slaughtering our people wholesale, slaughtering the Asiatics, slaughtering the Mexicans. They've slaughtered every man they could have came in contact with. Can someone prove that fact wrong? These are factual facts. Christianity has not done a damn thing for the black man. And I don't care what black people go, it does. It does it. Find me times in history. It's the worst thing that ever happened to our people. We need to get away from that. We need to go back into believing one another. We need to go back into Islam, our self-law master, and we need to stop praying to these bootlegging Negro ministers and save our communities.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying, brother. Like I said, I respect anybody's opinion who can speak about something intelligent. You obviously got some facts behind you. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not willing to compromise your beliefs in Islam, you know, which I respect. You know, I'm not willing to do it for Christianity. You say you haven't seen any Christianity do anything for a black man. But, you know, I can only speak for myself. You know what I'm saying? That's my relationship with God personally. You know what I'm saying? I can't speak for, you know, for anybody else. I just know what it's done for me, and I can speak, you know, as far as that pastor thing, that's, if we speaking honestly, that's what drove me away from the church for a while, because I saw the same thing you did. You know what I'm saying? I've seen, you know, pastors whose congregation is struggling. They recognize people for how much money they give in a church. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody might give $100, but they got $10,000 in their pocket. What's that? As opposed to,
like, I don't want to cut you off in the middle of what you're saying, but that's one thing that drove me. Because, again, I grew up in the South. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm not going to say I was ever Christian because I've always fought against it. And one day, and the thing that drove me away, I put this out there. We was in Maryland. The church went to Maryland. And we're sitting there talking, and the lady was talking about, you know, the minister was, like, trying to pump people up to give more money. Like, you know, don't worry about this. You can give your week's pay. She's just pumping people up. But then we was talking on the side, and the guy was talking about, I need you to bring your W-2 forms. And I looked at the lady. I said, what is he asking for? Oh, because you used to give 10%. I said, the Bible doesn't say give 10%. It says give on to God. Like, it gives on to God 10%. It doesn't say anything about financial money. It talks about your time. Because if we give 10% back to our community, we can save our communities. We can attend back to the church. I said, Jesus didn't even go to church. So what is this thing about promoting the church? It says, if I look under a rock, I am there, look in the sky, and therefore I am everywhere. Jesus is not in the man of building made of men. It's within your heart. And this minister really was trying to give the guilt trip. I mean, again, I'm not, he was giving a guilt trip to this one man because his man wasn't giving his W-2 for him. I said, I'm like, this man is like, he's extorting you. Oh, get the hell out of here.
I feel you. I've seen the same thing. But see, to me, that's not Christianity. I think people can label themselves anything. Like, I can label myself a Christian. That doesn't mean I am. It's like, you can label yourself a Muslim, and you probably are. But, you know, some other people may not be, but they may call themselves a Muslim because they want to be associated with it. And they got an ulterior motive or a hidden agenda, like, obviously, those pastors that we're speaking about do. No, that's,
but
it's about the seed behind it and what's really growing, not, you know, what plant I'm trying to sell you is what really is growing.
Yeah, but brother, like, question. I have a question because I know the topic is okay. Again, like I was saying, the girl said she's devout Christian. She's devout Christian. You know, Jesus, hallelujah. And I mean, this girl gave me so much strife because I went and celebrate Valentine's Day. So much strife because I went and celebrate Christmas. I'm like, Christmas is about Santa Claus, aka Satan Claus. Valentine's Day is a Roman festival of blood ritual and sex and orgies. That's nothing to do with Christianity.
You're right,
like, what
that
part of Christianity are we missing here? And I'm like, do Christians even know what they're talking about anymore? I mean, I was hurt. So, I mean, what's your take on that?
I mean, I agree exactly what you're saying. Like, my wife, I put that out there. Like, you know, I don't agree with Valentine's Day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For that main premise, and then we do celebrate Christmas, but it's more so for the observation of, you know, who believe in our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily that Jesus was born on that day, because like you said, it was during the harvest time, which is nowhere near December.
Right.
So, you know, that's pretty much understood. It's the day that we chose, to kind of like MLK, you know, it's not always celebrated on his day. They just choose a day to observe it.
Right.
So that's how we look at it. We don't necessarily believe he was born on December 25th. I mean, if you really read the doctrine, you know that's not really the way it's described. That's not true at all. But, you know, some people don't dig into it like that. But No, I feel what you're saying. You definitely make a valid point.
Okay, Pac, what was your opinion? Would you dump a guy because he wouldn't celebrate Valentine's Day and Christmas? What about you, young lady?
Me?
Yes, you.
Man, I got abused for less of shit than that. And, I mean, I'm a heathen. So, you know, the orgies and the bloodshed and shit. I mean, I just say Valentine's Day is another day for a man to go out, spend money, and get some pussy. I mean, that's just how I look at Valentine's Day. I don't celebrate it. I'm always at home looking at my kids, eating with sweet tart candies and whatever candy they bring home from school. You know what I'm saying? But if a dude did not celebrate Christmas with me or Valentine's Day, I wouldn't dump him. I would be like, you know, everybody has their reasons and stuff like that. Me personally, only thing I like to do at Christmas is see my family and just cook. But on those days, on holidays, I choose to be alone. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like one of those, like, I'm very family oriented, but on holidays, to me, it's just a day, another day. I go to the grocery store, spend about $100 to cook a meal for every greedy motherfucker I know to come over and eat.
Me being one of them.
Well, yeah, there you go. At least you have family.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just, you know, family that you normally don't get to see come in and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't even a lot of men into a lot of stuff. So, birthdays, unless it's for my kids or something like that. But, you know, I just think ever since my grandmother passed and then, like, every year I've been losing somebody, it's just like, I don't know. I just have a different outlook on life all way round, you know? So I'm different. Ashton, what are your thoughts, woman?
Thank you. Actually, as far as converting to another religion for a person, I would not do that ever. For the simple fact that it wouldn't be from the heart, it wouldn't be from my very soul. It would be just to please a man, and I could not do that. I wouldn't be happy. Therefore, the whole house wouldn't be happy after a while.
Well, what if the dick was really good?
The dick could be fantastic, golden. It's just not happening because it's his dick, and it's not worth it to me to be unhappy and to not follow my true feelings or my true spirituality because he says so.
Oh, I understand.
You know, everybody has their ups and downs as far as religion is concerned. Everybody, you know, no church, no mosque, no anything is, like, really perfect.
Right.
It's what's in your heart and it's what's in your soul. And if that's what you follow, then you go with like-minded people.
Okay.
It's when you cross over and you disrespect the next religion. That's where it gets, you know, twisted. That's where it gets kind of ugly. Because he's Muslim, consequence is Muslim, and Jen was raised, what, Christian?
Protestant.
So she decided to be with this dude, lay with this dude, until shit got real. You know, and she should have thought about that ahead of time. Now they have this child, and this child has to be brought up in some kind of form or fashion. Either you were just going to respect the fact that you both have different beliefs and just raise a child in a civilized manner, or somebody's going to have to bend. But now is not the time to be defiant in a sense. Like, she should have did that a long time ago. Listen, I'm digging you. You know, sex is great and everything, but when it comes down to the real stuff or it comes down to the soul, I can't get with that.
Mm. Yeah,
now you want to whine and complain. That's not cool to me.
Yeah, Kant said he told her when they first started messing around that that's what he expected of her. And she was still down with it then, I guess. So.
Right.
Yeah,
and
but
she's like, I encourage him to go and pray with you. Yeah, but he wants to do that as a family unit. And they should have had that sit down before it got real.
Right. No. But my mother was a Christian and my father was a Muslim. And I never really had a problem. It actually I mean, again, this is why I'm the way I am, but it really showed me that Christianity definitely wasn't the way for me because, you know, my father gave me a story when he was small. He said, I went to meet your mother in North Carolina. We went on a date, and we went to a movie theater in Carolina. I'm from New York. And we went to the movies, and long story short, the black people sat downstairs and the white people sat downstairs and the black people sat upstairs. This is the movie theater in the 70s. And my father, being a Muslim, was like, oh, I'm going to sit where I want to sit. I paid my money, I sit where. And she's like, no, we don't do that, like, basically. My father said, I want to sit where I want to sit. And she literally was in tears, like, please do not do this, like, to me. And my father, he always told me, he says, that's one thing about a Christian, you got to be very careful. These people are not ready to go to the end of the war, to die for their belief. They'll sit there and fight and talk about everything else. But it's when they're ready to die for their beliefs. Don't say, because that's when you don't believe no more. That's when you know. People, I believe. Well, belief is a lie. Be lie. That's what it is. It's not, it's fiction. We can all say we know God. No, we don't. None of us know God. It's what we think. And my father says, when somebody goes to the end of the world and they're willing to die for what they believe in, that's when that's a person you've got to respect. And that's when I looked up, like, you know, funny guy, I was like, I've always noticed that. I said, most Christians I know, you know, again, I grew up in certain areas, they got big cars, big money, fat pockets. They're like Chicago pimps. Most Muslims I know are, they're damn sure going to die for everything they believe in, but they almost have a vow of, not a vow of poverty, but almost like a vow of poverty, because if anyone checked their records, Jesus was literally a bum. Jesus was broke. He had a vow of poverty. Yeah, again, Muslims do follow Jesus, so don't think it's twisted like we knew Jesus as a prophet. Jesus was broke, and he gave everything he can to save and teach his people.
Right.
And I'm like, what's the problem? And that's when I realized that, I said, Christianity is definitely not for me. And when I look at our people, I had a minister one day, and again, I have no problem with anyone. I went to his church, and then I go to churches with my friends. And there was a homo in the front. And the pastor's talking. I'm looking at him like, so I, on the side, I said, well, dude, this dude's a fucking, not that he's gay, he's flaming. This dude was like Cat Williams. I'm like, yeah, this dude is skipping flag flaming. And he goes, well, you know, I said, aren't you a prophet of God? Aren't you a prophet of God? I said, the Leviticus clearly says you killed the homosexual. It's an abomination, and they should be summarily put to death. That's what the Bible says. Are you telling me because it's going to hurt your pocket, you're not going to say nothing? He goes, well, you're not. I said, it's not called judging. He is a homo. Judging if you thought he was. And you, no, he's kind of flaming. He's super flaming. He basically's walking around with a man purse. He's flaming. He's basically got a boyfriend in here. You're not going to tell him, sir, let me just talk to you where I can help you maybe understand that this is not what's in God's plan for you. And the minister fought me. Mind you, there's people around this are listening, and people looking at me first, they were like, don't do this to the minister. Don't. And then after a while, people realized, like, wait a minute. Minister, yeah, he's kind of right here. And people just looked at me, and then they started helping me with the minister. And the minister basically was like, well, that's what the Bible says, though. That's what Sodom and Gomorrah was about. You wiped out the whole city. When you go again, you talk to a Muslim, it's like, you know, not all of us are too of exact, but I'm like, you talk to a Muslim, no, yeah, we don't do that in our country. We hate them. So you go, oh, my God, these people are crazy. I said, no, it's not crazy. They say they're Muslim, and they slaughter them. I said, Bahamas. My family's from Bahamas. Bahamas is a Christian nation. But they basically said, if you come on the Bahamas Islands holding hands, they put you in jail. You know what they did? They went to the Bahamian people and was like, how dare y'all? I said, look, we're Christians. How do you punish us for speaking our mind on this? Like, and it's the thing with Christians. Like, it's some backwater stuff going on here. Like, there's so many Jewishes amongst. I'm like, I don't get it. And no one wants to stand up. It's like, this is why we're failing. We're failing as a people because no one stands up. What was the guy's name? I forgot his name. What's Robin Thicke's father? Alan Thicke.
Yeah, Alan Thicke.
Yeah.
Okay, Robin Thicke made a I'm sorry. The guy who played the son, Kirk Cameron. I was in California. Kirk Cameron made that comment about gays, about, you know, I don't want gays around me and all that. And Alan Fitch said something, and I looked around. I watched all the comments, and I realized that no one said nothing to defend Kirk Cameron. Alan Fitch says, I'm going to get you something more up-to-date to read than the Old Testament. And it was me and my friend, and we looked at that. I said, oh, my gosh, damn, he just disrespected him. And I looked at all the comments, and not one Christian, mind everybody that was in condos said it was Christians, not one Christian stood up for Kirk Cameron. I said, he basically just took your Bible and threw it on the floor. I told you, I'm going to get you something more up-to-date than read in the Old Testament, which is God's words. See, if you did that to a Muslim, oh, this person's deaf. His ass is on the grass for death. See, Christians, they take that and go, well, you know, let's shut and drive. We're going to go to a party on Sunday, and we're going to act like we didn't hear nothing. And this is what I'm saying. Again, it's not disrespecting Christians at all. It's like, what happened to the fight? It's like there's no more fight. Everybody wants to just do nothing. Like, our people have no fight no more. It's like they think that, like, Judas, Jesus, these people were warriors.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't get smacked. These people fought. They fought for their beliefs. Now we're like, we're laying down. You know, people selling out their souls. Like, it's just, it's like a debauchery. Remember what May said? When May said, I made more money with Creflo Dollar than my whole career at Bad Boy Records. No one saw a problem when he said that comment? Y'all remember that comment, right?
Yeah.
I definitely saw a problem
with
it.
He was on his knees. They said, what are you doing, Mace? He goes, I'm on my knees. They said, Mace is on his knees praying. He said, what's wrong? I'm praying for Jimmy Soul. I'm like, nigga, please. I was just with you. Fuck you, Soul. You ain't praying for Jimmy Soul. And then he made a comment. He said, I made more money in 6 months with Creflo Dollar my whole career at Bad Boy Records. I said, wow. I said, is that why when I went to New York that time, I saw you at Master Garden and you just got off of G4? Our people are living in the projects, and you ride in G4s and driving in Maybachs, but you with a minister? Like, are you serious? T.D. Jakes is worth like $50 million. Well, that's his money. It's not his money. He used church money to build his empire. But I guarantee, how much of that get going back to a community to build schools for our people? See, that's what I'm saying. People talk about, well, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell. I said, so what's the answer for these people, these false prophets? If they don't go to hell, I know I ain't going.
And see, I think for me, I think my wake-up call came when I moved to Atlanta in 97, and I took a job at a seminary. And at the time, I didn't know what a seminary was. I just knew it was a good-paying job, and I was an office manager. And then that's when I had my first bout with Creflo Dollar. These ladies had called in, and they were students, and we were taught because we grew up with our grandfather being a minister. We grew up in the church. My grandfather worked like 5 days a week, went to church like every day. When it's like him and my grandmother, they still live in the same house that they lived in all of our lives and everything like that. So what I saw with my grandfather and his church was way different than what I saw in other churches, because it's like my grandfather didn't drive like the cars that the ministers are driving now. He never drove that. He told my grandmother one day, he was like, when I can afford it, one day I'm going to get you a Cadillac, because my grandmother always wanted a Cadillac. And he eventually got her a Cadillac, but it came at the fact that they got ran off a road by a tractor trailer, and they totaled their car, so he got her that. So I was used to, you know, when they take up offerings, it goes into the church, and then it goes back into the community, because, like, when your members are in need, you're taught that you go to the church, because that's supposed to be your backbone. That's supposed to be, when you fall, they're supposed to be there to catch you. You know what I'm saying? So when these girls were like on the brink of getting evicted and everything like that, they called the Creflo Dollar hotline. And they were asking for money. And he was telling them that if they didn't come, if they wasn't a member of his church and they never gave anything, that there was no way that he was going to help them. And he said some other stuff because they was actually offended and wanted to know who they could restore them to. And then I guess he said, in order to join the church, that showing your W-2 was part of the process. I thought you go to a church, fill it out. You go a couple of times. And if you're liking what you're seeing and there's a connection, then that's the church that you sit there and you be like, okay, then I'm going to join that. You know what I mean?
I respect that. I respect right. that. I definitely do.
But
yeah.
it's like, now, it's like, I don't go yeah. to church.
The prophet is for a prophet, honestly.
Yeah, because, how can I go to church when I'm looking at the, I'm a heathen. I'm telling you, I'm a heathen. I'm going to test you. I will go to church, sit up in the front, make eye contact with the preacher, and have a look in my eye, and if you respond back, you I'm like, man, it's time to go.
Right. But he's still a man.
Huh?
He's still human. I mean, the flesh is weak.
I can't be in church nowadays because I'm wondering if this deacon or this minister is one of them down low brothers, or if my money that I'm giving for offering is going to go towards the building fund in the church, the food fund, or is it going to your bills and your luxuries in life? I mean, it's like, to me, church is so, it's so messed up. It is so messed up because, like I said, when I was locked up, I always read books. And it was like, once Jesus died, it was like the Roman Catholics tried to find a way to take back over. And
yep.
it's like, that's when they started this bullshit, killing the people that was Christians that read the New Testament. Then, on top of that, you get the certificate to confess your sins, then you're cleansed. That's some bullshit, because my thing is, I was taught, as long as I have a relationship with God and I ask his forgiveness, like you said, there should not be a middleman.
Nope.
And it's mm-hmm. like, to be, I feel like, and the person that wrote the book, I cannot remember the name of the book, but the author that wrote the book felt like, he was like, how is it the Pope can be an all-white garment when the coming or whatever has not happened yet? And he was like, back then, he felt like the Pope was the devil sitting on the throne, because how can you sit here and claim to be such a holy person when you're sitting here persecuting people for what they believe in, and you're killing women and children and men thousands at a time on the streets, and it's just blood just flowing and flowing, and you want to go out and give these certificates of like, yeah, in order for you to be clean, you got to get this certificate, and you got to come confess your sins to me, and then I'm going to go speak to God for you, and then you'll be okay. Why can't I speak for myself?
Yep, because that person's a sinner just like you. No other sinner can help you confess your sin.
That's what I believe.
Exactly.
And I mean, to me, that's like, okay, well, bishop or priest, me and my family, we're going to come to you. But then you're going to be like, oh, Pamela, you have 3 boys and a girl. Well, how about you and Alicia go sit over there with my wife and have some cookies and coffee? Let me talk to these boys right here, because they're more interested in boys than anything else.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So I just be like, you know, I mean, people, they're like, oh, I'm Catholic, and I'd be like, oh, wow, you're fucked up.
Yeah, I think black people should never be Catholic. That doesn't even make sense.
I can't disagree
yeah.
on that one.
And then, it's like, it's just so much bullshit that comes with certain denominations, but I can honestly say, moving to Atlanta in the late 90s, open my eyes up to all the bullshit that goes on in the churches. And, you know, when we grew up, you did good for your raggedy church to be torn down, and y'all saved up enough money to build a bigger church and better
yeah.
church to hold more members. It's like now, private jet, maids, 3, 4, 5 different churches all across the United States, and you're lying on your income taxes. You don't want to file and show what you're really making. And $15,000 a month, maybe I need to go be a preacher. If they getting paid like that, maybe I'm in the wrong field.
Yeah, And that's not, he's not even one of the high-paying ones. Of course, you would know that. He's not even one of the highest-paying. He's nowhere near a top-paying one.
Nah.
And mind you, $15,000 also covers, you remember, including the $15,000 is the money for his car. So he has a minivan and another truck. That $15,000 is his car notes, is his utilities. So in actual cash, it's maybe about $12,000 and $3,000 are his cell phone bills and all. So basically, they're taking care of him completely. So it's not $15,000 in cash, it's $15,000 overall because he has to put all his assets. But what that was like $800 is a car note. I mean, two car notes. It was money for the cell phone. And I'm sitting there like, and my people coming to you are going home to the projects.
Well, that's the thing, that some of the churches move it as far away as they can from the people who need them most. Like, you should be, you should have people in the hoods every day trying to help people. Like, that should be your whole goal, not sitting on the other side of town or whatever in your church expecting them to come to you. You got to go get people to help them.
Right. But, again, they don't go into the community. And this is what I'm saying. Like, you know, we talk about our women, and then, you know, I'm like, you know, and again, I had the girl, and she was, like, upset at me because I went to tell her Valentine's Day. I'm like, I, you know, it's just like it turns me away from it even more. So I'm like, dude, like, is everybody greedy? It's like, at dinner, it's a Hallmark holiday. This money, these days are made for Hallmark to get paid. Like, yeah. Outside of this and keeping the economy going, what the hell is going on? Like, you actually are arguing and threatening, like, I don't think we can really date because I'm a Christian, you're a Muslim. But I'm like, that got nothing to do with it because I don't ever speak I don't ever pass my beliefs to you. I don't even do my salat. I do that on the side. I don't even do that around you. Like, I went to Mecca once in my life, and that was when I was 18. Like, I've never even promoted Indian Islam to you. Like, I even go to you to church, and yet you have a problem because I don't want to celebrate Valentine's Day. I don't want to celebrate Christmas. I don't want to celebrate these pagan holidays, which they're called,
it's because you wouldn't get gifts.
No, it's not even that. And then she got mad at me because she had her kids dress up in Halloween. I said, why would you have your kids dress up as a witch? Well, it's for the fun. I said, but it's a satanic Sabbath. That is Christian, it's a witch's holiday. It's almost like Christmas for Satan worshippers. Why would you do that? And I tried to go to a Catholic school, and they got Halloween costumes on in Catholic school. I said, okay. I said, I'm out. I said, I'm done. I said, I'm totally done with Christianity. You can't say, I can't come here. This crap no more. I said, in Catholic church, I mean, of course we know it's Catholic church, but I'm like, y'all got the in Catholic church in Halloween costumes? It's a satanic Sabbath.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What happened to going back to the word of God and away from worldly vices, money and vanity and abuse. What happened to speaking out against abusing women? What's up with speaking out against child abuse? Of course, they can't speak out against child abuse because they abuse it. But I'm like, what happened to a lot of these things that's affecting our schools, SAT classes, tutoring? What's up with this stuff in our community instead of you driving around like the pimp mobile? Looking for the widow, or if you're lucky, it's a widow, you know, or the man who works two shifts, you know, you thinking, you're looking at, hey, Miss Parker, you looking like Bernie Mac from Friday, she's in the house. I'm like, and she gets mad at me, I'm like, I can't do this. So when we broke up, I was like, I'm more at peace. So she goes back after a while. Yeah, you know, I'm like, nah, this is not going to, I can't work out because you put this stuff in front of me. Like, I would celebrate your birthday, but as a other, that's all I can really celebrate. I can't really celebrate anything past that.
Right.
You know, we only should celebrate holidays. Holiday means holy day. We only should celebrate days of blessings. So I'll celebrate your birthday. I'll celebrate maybe Easter. You know, we're not celebrating the Easter egg, but we're celebrating with the birth of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. You know, we celebrate, you know, we have a cookout. We don't do picnics, so, you know, picnic is when we're picking nigga. That's some racist shit. But, you know, we go out there, we have, you know, we enjoy nature. I'm like, we don't see things the way I see it. Because maybe I look at things more, I tend to follow the book of all books. Cause I do read the Bible. I do read the Quran. I do read the Talmud. I read the Maccabees. I've read all of them. And I'm like,
I do my best to try to live morally sound.
Right.
And I'm like, and you put me to shame because I want to celebrate satanic Sabbaths with you, and you are a devout Christian, church 3 days a week. She goes to work Sunday, Wednesday, and Saturday. No, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I'm like,
did you fuck her?
Hey, I tell her now. I tell her now. But
okay,
back
so then, I mean, like, so what is the problem? My thing is, okay, honey, you're devout, but you're fornicating. You're having sex outside of marriage. So she ain't had to complain about shit.
Well, we got to remember the word, you remember the definition of marriage? See, it was, again, it's something that Europeans bastardized to make money off of. That's why they let homos get married. They don't care about faggots getting married. They care about that money because they got to go down in court and register. That registration, New York made $300 million from faggots getting married. That's what New York cared about, $300 million from all those marriage licenses. They don't care about homos getting married. They care about that money. That's why I tell people, don't get offended when New York says we okay with gay marriage. They don't care about no homos. They care about them rights that them people run down there getting married. That's what they want. And that's why they made a document, $300 million from homos getting married. It's always about the money. But you remember, it goes back to the ancient times. There was no marriage. And you remember also the marriage is a sham anyway. Because when you listen to the priest, he goes, the power invested in me by the state of North Carolina or the state of New York, I pronounce you man or wife. It's a fraud because power doesn't come from the state. The power comes from God. So if he says anything that says anything before God, you should have to walk away from that wedding anyway. So as soon as he says the power investment by the state of North Carolina, the marriage has no value anyway. And most people don't understand that key word when he says that. He doesn't say the power investment by God. He says by the state. Because he's licensed by the state to get that license. When they say anything statewide, you walk away. But a marriage is only a commitment. If I go to you and say we're committed to each other, that's a marriage. That's why common law marriage is 7 years. There's no paperwork for that. A real marriage, there's no paperwork. It's a commitment to one another that we're going to take care and love one another. And it's these people bastardizing stuff for money. And W-2 forms, because now, you know, they want you to get married, so you get that W-2 form, too. Go back into the history of it. Most people don't say, even if you study Hebrew, they go, well, Jesus wasn't married to Mary. I say, actually, you know who's Hebrew? Jesus was a Hebrew. He wasn't a Christian. Hebrew customs, the wife always washed her husband's feet. Not that they say wash his feet, scrub it, dub it, but she always left water out because after, you know, these people walk barefooted. So to clean his foot as he comes into the door. That's what a wife would do to you. Mary did all the things of a wife would do to her husband. But again, Christianity wanted to make this homosexual anti-women shit where they talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's another reason why I walked away. I'm like, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where's the women at? Well, we don't got, you know, what about Mary? Well, this Mary's a prostitute, and this one, wait, where's the Trinity? How do you have a Trinity with no women? Well, the Spirit, where's the women? Nah, man, I ain't messing around with nothing with no women. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there's no women. Isn't there something wrong with women when women go, yeah, that's right. Hello, aren't you a woman? Hello, even Jesus came through a woman. Everything on earth came through a woman. So where do we get the Spirit from? A woman, there's no, that's why you got to go back to the ancient Isis. Isis, Horus, and Osiris. That's why you have an Ankh over a cross, because the Ankh, the top of the circle, is a womb. If there's no womb, there's no birth. So once you see something with no women around, you have to walk away from that anyway. That's why, again, Christianity don't work for black people, because all men like pussy. I mean, I shouldn't have said that word. But men like pussy. If there's no women around, like, there's something wrong with that. Again, I don't knock anybody's beliefs. But these are things, because, again, I think I'm a thinker. And I'm like, dude, there's no women around. Like, I don't like this. Men walk around with robes, little altar boys get duped in the butt. Like, yo, what the hell? There's just something wrong with this thing. I don't really have a problem with that, with no women around. I like women.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, at the end of the day, if you look at the history of everything, the Pope, before he starts any, you can Google it. Before the Pope starts any day, what he does, he goes into the back, it's called, it's, well, there was different phrases. There's the golden rule, and he kisses the warped feet of the Black Madonna. Why they don't promote this into the public? That every morning before he starts his day, he has to kiss a black woman's foot. But yet they're talking about Trinity with no women. Look it up. You could Google it. Google, I think, you can probably Google Pope kissing Black Madonna. He has to get on his knees and kiss the feet of a black woman before he starts any prayer service. But yet we got a Trinity with no women. Man, get out of here. I'm out. I was out. I'm like, I can't even follow this crap no more because it don't make sense. I see why black people can't thrive in this shit. Because we done bastardize our women, then we want our men don't respect women. Hell, we don't even add them in the mix. I always ask her, well, why Mary don't have a book? She gave birth to Jesus, well, she don't need one. Fuck you mean Mary don't need one? Why was she chosen? Well, she don't need one. She don't need one. Huh? You know, I can't get answers. You know, I can't get answers from nothing here. You know, again, I love my Christian brothers and sisters, that most of my people are. But I sit there and I scratch my head like, it don't make sense to me. I can't get any sense out of it. And I'm not saying that the girl's trying to, you know, her whilst breaking up was just the icing on the cake. Made me really look around and like, this is some real fucked up shit here.
Would you smash again?
Oh, yeah, I did.
After the conversation? The religion conversation?
Yeah. Because she knew at the end of the day, she knew where the obelisk was. See, remember, the obelisk in Washington, D.C. is the black man's penis. That's why it's so big. She knew what time it was. But at the end of the day, I was like, you know, I can't do this no more. Because, you know, I wouldn't even do that because I don't do, like, have homeboy sex. That's, like, that's whack. Like, you know, I'm a passionate person. And I don't do a quickie and walk out the room because I want to look at you afterwards. If I can't look at you, I can't respect you. But again, I really, you know, thank you know, for your finding, because I really went to, you know, get that. I really was confused about that, and I had somebody tell me that, well, maybe you should be. I'm like, and that, you know, it's like what you said. You know, I've never got your name, the co-host.
Aston.
I've never got, you know, again, when you said that, like, you know, you knew what you was getting yourself into, you know, without you, but you know, the chick, and I'm like, you know what, she's right, because a lot of these cultures are so far right to left, it's incredible. And you got to be very careful when you bring children into a situation like that. You know, do you go to a mosque? Do you go to the church? Like, you know, like,
right.
God, you tell me to
especially when you're not willing to be open-minded about the other person's religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be headstrong about what you believe in and not respect the next person, it's not going to work.
Exactly.
Well, Tanisha Kynes ain't going to work because she cried too damn much, and she got it fucked up that she going to stay home and a black man just going to give up his credit card.
Right? That's what got me more than the religion, honestly. The fact that she sat there in the passenger seat crying about this money that she could, and she's like, well, you told me to stay home. Who listens to that?
Exactly.
And then she fucked up and was like, it's not like he doesn't have the money. He drives a Bentley. I rewind. He drives a Bentley. So therefore, he went out and he earned that. I'm all for independence. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, sometimes in a relationship, the man may have the upper hand in finances because his job may pay more, blah, blah, blah. But I am a firm believer, if you're not pulling your weight in a situation, then you lose your voice to talk about how he should divide up his money. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, he had a good point when he was just like, she's doing too much and she's stressing him out. And he a black man and he can get high blood pressure.
I mean, I'm also a true believer of female independence. We fought for it for a long time, and we finally have it. However, I don't believe that he, as her man, should let her sit at home and do nothing. And if anything, if he doesn't feel like his pocket should be dug into, the least he can do is, instead of giving a hand out, give a hand up. He's a man in the music industry. He's with her. He could at least like try to put her in the forefront, to put her in a position to make her own money. A lot of men out here nowadays are saying that they can't stand a gold digger. But if they would take that one woman and tell her, listen, I'm not going to keep catching this fish for you, but I'll teach you how to get it, I think a lot of people will respect a lot of women a lot more.
Interesting. Mr. New York, can I get a hand up?
Are you giving a hand out?
Oh.
They want to give handouts.
So again, I really do understand and respect that, things like that. But the women independent movement is actually something, again, that the Europeans did. Again, our good Christian brothers. Because women should not be independent. Women are the backbone of the home. Women are the backbone of the community. So when women are out there taking off my bra, we want to get jobs. Who was raised, who was taking care of the children? And then women, then these Europeans who have no children, who can't even, who's never raised a child in their life, would tell you, yeah, well, why is it our job? Hello, you carry the baby for 9 months. Hello, you can breastfeed a baby for 7 years. Hello, when a child buzzes his ass at 17, he don't yell out, where my daddy? He's always yelling out, where my mama? You can have two family members in the house. A child is always going to have loyalty to his mother because the mother is the first provider of a child. So when our women went into work, they left our children into the street to be raised by the system. And, again, our homes fall apart again because the woman who is the teacher, she nurtures the child. She prepares the child to be a man. She prepares the child to be a woman. The man assists in that job. He's the woman. The woman is everything. The woman carries all the weight on her back and on her shoulder. So when our women hit the streets, not saying like prostitutes, but when women hit the streets, it was a wrap for us because we lost our bread. We lost our backbone at home. So now women are taking up our balls. But again, most black women, if you guys understand, that's these Europeans. They were in caves up to a few hundred years ago. These are historical facts. They would just walk around in the caves a few years ago. Of course they don't know how to raise no children. They never raised nothing in their life. They go from nation to nation, destroy, rape, and pillage. So of course they could come out, take up your bro, and get independent. Independent from who? They want to get independent from the white man who's been subjugating the world to the same BS in the world. I had a white woman tell me that the other day. She said, this, her black friend was like, I would date white men. And you know what she said? Who's all talking? And she goes, she says, I'm glad. And I said, why? She goes, I don't condone interracial relationships. And she goes, no, because now she gets to see what we've been through for the last few hundred years. And I'm looking at her like, why? Like, I mean, I know what she was talking about. But I'm like, did you just say that to me? She goes, yeah, because I only date black men. They know how to treat women. And I'm like, they do? And she goes, yes, because they know how to take care of you. The reason why black men are the way they are is because the society we're forced to survive. We're forced to scrounge and scrape for every dime we can get because this white racist system keeps us in positions where we can't really earn. It puts us in positions where we can't thrive. We can't take positions in Fortune 500 companies when all 500 Fortune 500 companies are owned by white people. We don't understand credits. And so of course our credit's not good. Because credit is debt. Most people don't want to be in debt. So, of course, they don't survive in credit. So, our people survive. We're hurting these systems. And this white girl says, I only can date black men. I had a white woman tell me she don't even like the smell of white men. And I'm looking at her like, what? And I'm like, well, chick, I don't get down like that. But she told me, shit, I don't even like the smell of them. But she said, now black women can understand what we went through. And I'm like, I don't think we want to understand, but she was right. So I had black women come back. I had a black girl come back. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, white is right. I'm like, well, don't talk to me. But you just basically told me I ain't shit. So we can't even be cool with that kind of comment. But she came back, and this was about 2 years ago I saw her. She got three baby daddies, three children, all little fucking little weird-looking Tiger Woods-looking things. I'm like, oh, so was it a black man that did that to you? Well, black man ain't shit. I said, but you got three baby daddies and you're white. Two of them don't pay child support. One of them don't want to claim the child. So what's the difference between dating a black guy and a white guy? You just was sleeping with a lizard. That's what happened. Luckily, now raising child with a mixed up society when he came to go to his siblings because all the grandparents don't want nothing to do with the little nigga baby. So welcome to reality. So again, I'm with you, I'm not knocking you with the women independence thing, but again, that's another thing that the Europeans started. Black women, we are already independent. You're God. I don't believe God was a man. That's why I'm Muslim, but I don't follow all the beliefs. I don't believe women have to take a step back because it's a fact. If a woman don't give birth, the day women all cross their legs and say, we're not giving birth, society stops. The day the man says, I'm not busting a nut, society going to keep going because some way or another, that ovary is going to be fertilized. It's been proven. There ain't never been no virgin births of men. One way or the other, the women will produce. One way or the other. They'll create something, they'll make sure they produce. But men, we can't. And that's why I would say, to me, you can't have a god without a goddess. You can't have a god without a goddess. It don't make sense. Everybody needs a partner. Again, that's just my opinion.
Damn it, I'm going to find me a partner this. Matter of fact, I'm going to find me a partner in February because February 1st marks the official first day. February is for lovers. Aquarius, you know, right? I know you're an Aquarius, but, you know.
Aquarians are the best.
What? Yes, they are. But you didn't quite make it to the February date. But, you know, you're still... Damn. I don't know what kind of lover you would be. Probably call you a Neanderthal.
Yes.
He has caveman ways, but yeah. Friday is official kickoff for February is for lovers. Right? You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you an honorary February pass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send it to you.
Hooray.
Yes. And Moonchini, you don't need one. You good. So on February 1st at midnight, because you up late anyway, I'm going to need you to roll over, smash the wife, and be like, baby, February is for lovers, and I'm going to love you extra special for these next 28
days. No,
I can't do it. I might as well encourage everybody else to do it.
Word.
I do it, but, you know, be romantic. February is a romantic month. Men, I'm just telling you, February 14th, all you're doing is paying for some pussy. Shit that you already do, you just spending out some extra money.
Yep. Things that you should be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, ladies, don't bang your man in the head. And if you're fucking with Rikers, he's going to take you to 7-Eleven, get you a hot dog and a Slurpee. And if you nice, he's going to go to the 25-cent or maybe the 50-cent gumball machine and get you a nice little present.
Oh, my goodness.
If you're nice.
That's how you do it. Well, like I said, if you start the day out cheap, you only go up. Why would you start in Cipriani's? I pay $500. I mean, you gonna tell him I'm going to McDonald's after that? She's like, oh, nigga, please. You just start at $500. You only can go up. You can't start at Cipriani's or Peter Luger Steakhouse and talk about, okay, now next week I'm going to Wendy's. She's like, nigga, are you serious? No, you start low, and if she can't enjoy the time, a good company at the low price, no, I am not breaking my bank. My bank account will take you some $500 restaurant. Hell with that. If you can survive 7-Eleven and some good jokes, we good. If you sit like, oh, I'll do this. Oh, you know what? Check this out. You got to go that way because I can't vibe with you. I need to crack jokes. If I can't crack jokes with you, there's no longevity.
I'm the same way.
Because I have to say, looks go away soon. You know, people are not black women. Black women, they look kind of good into their 70s. I've seen some hot 60-year-olds. But I'm telling you, but looks go away soon. But if I can't crack jokes with you, I can't be around you. But again, thank you, everyone. I have to make some phone calls to the West Coast. And, again, thank you for having me and my 5 cents. And, again, also, understand I'm not knocking anyone's religious values. I'm just speaking my opinion. And, again, I do go to church, Christian churches. I don't go on Sundays because, you know, Sunday's the first day of the week, and it also says pray on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. It's Sunday. The sun starts today, so the sun starts the week. So I don't go to anything that works on Sunday. So if you invite me, try to find me a Saturday church. And also, in, you know, if y'all cooking, let me know. And Mussolini. Mancini, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Mussolini. Mancini, good luck with your music. I don't know why I said that. Well, again, you know, because the vibe will right there.
Yeah,
but good luck with your music. You definitely should make sure you start working on your singles and working on the ad-libs. I think a lot of your music work on, you know, do ad-libs in here. Emphasize some of the words you're saying because you're doing stuff, but it's not emphasizing certain key points. You know, it's like you went right through. But if you add some ad-libs or some voiceovers, it can, like, emphasize some of these, the energy that you're trying to portray, energy that you are portraying, not trying to portray, the energy you're portraying. It'll make certain things stand out so people can catch those key words, like, oh, damn, you know that? Press rewind again? Yo, did you feel that? Yeah, you know, you can go right through it, but, you know, when you get those key things, it makes people want to hear it again.
Right.
You know, but again, it's good music, but definitely, you know, you definitely have a promising career. You know, just work on those things where, you know, it emphasizes the key parts of your song, and it'll draw people in. And I really wish I was in Greensboro. I just, you know, my the first of the month, I actually be here this week, so I should get my money this week. I should get my first of the month check. So hopefully when spring comes, I can maybe get down there and hear some of your music at a live performance.
Wow.
If you happen to work something out to get up to East Coast, then I definitely can check it out.
Yeah, no doubt. I definitely want to come up top sometime soon. So.
Yeah, you have to. You're going to come to New York. No matter what, New York runs the music scene. The only one believe you there, the South is running the thing. New York runs everything. Always remember that. Always remember that. As long as all the check writers live in New York runs hip hop. That's all you remember. The check writers live here. So the bosses are here, the employees are down south. You need to get up here and meet some of these bosses.
Word.
They're the ones that's going to cut them checks.
Yeah, no
so, again, good luck with your career, and, you know, everybody have a good night. Thanks for speaking to you, Anderson and Chuck Mommy. You're my favorite. And, you know, more power to the people.
I appreciate it. Peace, brother, man.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thank you. I wanted to hear from somebody who actually considered switching religion.
There's people in the chat room, and, you know, in, like, 1 minute, the switchboard is about to close, and, you know, everybody was just listening and stuff like that. And you can always tell when you're home, because then motherfuckers will hang up real quick.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So, you know, it was interesting. Tonight was, like, a really, really good show. It set the tempo. I just got to go find me some preachers and some Christian folk so we can do the sex and religion show, because I want to emphasize so much on the sexual freedom of the Old Testament and how everybody got proved in the Second and the New Testament. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, then I want somebody to be able to answer my question. Is it fornicating when you use a toy?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'll let somebody else answer that one.
I mean,
that's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
Munchini, I wouldn't mind calling grandma and asking her that one, but I kind of got a
feeling
Lord. She wants to fall out on the floor.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear grandma answer on that one.
I would be like, Grandma, they just told me to ask you. I see you going through some things, and she asked me, and I was like, I just said, I'll ask you.
She had a flashback when she whooped me when I was little, when I bought the little nudie book back to the back room and started reading. She called me.
Oh, man. So, calling in. Shouts out to Muccini. Tell them where they can find your music at and where they can find you at and everything.
Yo, you can holler at me on my website, MucciniWorld.com. You can catch me on CDBaby.com, Google Play, Amazon, Facebook.com/MucciniWorld. So just Google me, I'll pop up, you know. Just look for me. Album's out, you know, it's in the stores, hopefully soon, too, so you better get physical copies as well. Thank you for having me, Chocolate Mommy. Got to do it again sometime. I had a ball.
See? And I didn't even do no prank calls. I was saving them for Friday, so when I go to the club, I'm going to be turned up. Oh, yeah, tell them one more time about
P-Skills. P-Skills, member of my group 7 Seas in Greensboro, North Carolina, at the Blind Tiger on Walker Avenue off Spring Garden Street, Friday night. I think doors open at like 8, so y'all get there. Have a good time. Show my boy some love, and then go holler at Chocolate Mommy. Y'all make sure she have a good birthday weekend.
This
makes
me drunk. I want to be drunk Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so when I come to on Monday, I don't want to remember nothing. I want people to tell me what I did. And out of those 3 days, I want to come home on Monday morning. I love you, Muccini. I love you, Ashes. I love all my listeners that tuned in. You guys have a good night and get the hell off my line.
Love you, too.
I appreciate it, cuz. Love you, too.
All right.
Bye.
Night.